We want to talk this morning about a good for nothing man. Now, when you hear that phrase, somebody probably came to mind. You know, it may be a cousin or an uncle or a nephew, or hopefully not your husband. Somebody came to mind that here's somebody, they are good for nothing. Of course, my dad always said, well, everybody's good for something, even if it's just to serve as a bad example. But we want to look at this in a different way. What does this phrase mean to us? Well, it does usually mean this is a worthless individual. But I want us to notice somebody today who was a good-for-nothing man. But because of what we learn about him in the Scriptures, he's a great example for all of us. And as we're looking this week at a great Bible character to emulate, to be like, we want to look at this individual. But in Acts 3:19, the Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so when we hear that, we hear, okay, we've got to repent, we've got to turn away from our sins, and we've got to be converted. But, well, what does that mean? Well, let's learn some things about this individual who was converted. And what we want to notice today is we want to be converted like Cornelius. So let's learn about him. Let's learn, first of all, that Cornelius was a good man. And earlier we're going to talk about a good-for-nothing man. Well, we usually mean they're not good. But Cornelius was a good man. The Bible says so in Acts chapter 10 in verse 2. Says he was a devout man who feared God. And he gave generously. And he prayed to God all the time. He was a good man. In verse 4, the angel even says, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." In verse 22, they talked about Cornelius, the centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. Now, even Jesus wasn't spoken of well by the whole Jewish nation. So this guy really, he was a pretty impressive fellow. And he was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. For somebody who wasn't a Jew to be thought of well by the Jews really says something for that individual. They didn't think highly of the heathen, the Gentiles. And so this Cornelius was a special man. He was a good man. We see in verse 2 that he was devout and that he feared God, that he gave much alms, he gave to charity. We also see that he prayed to God always, and we see that God heard his prayer. We also see that he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was upright. He wasn't a scoundrel. He wasn't into anything nefarious or shady. Even secretly, the Bible tells us he was a good man. He had a good report among all the Jews, verse 22 also tells us. So we put all these things together. I dare say he sounds like he is a better person than some of us, doesn't it? He was a good guy. And you know, a lot of us have neighbors that are good people. We have friends, we have co-workers, we have relatives. They're good people. Cornelius had this problem, though. Even though Cornelius was good, he was good for nothing. He was doing all these good things and he was a good person, but it was all for naught. It wasn't accomplishing anything because he was still lost. You see, it doesn't matter how many good deeds you do, how much you give to charity, how much you pray. If you're still lost, all those good things have accomplished nothing for you. So Cornelius was a good-for-nothing man. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 5, we see the angel says, "Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter." And then when Peter is retelling this story in chapter 11, because Peter goes and talks to a Gentile. Spends some time with a Gentile. The other Jews are like, ugh, what's wrong with you? Peter has to give an account for it. And here's what he says when he retells what was going on. He told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, send men to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. Now notice verse 14. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and your household. Now if Peter had to come and declare a message to Cornelius so that he and his household could be saved, that tells us that he wasn't saved. He was lost. He needed to hear the message that would save him. He was a good man, but he hadn't heard what he needed to do, what he needed to know in order to be saved. And there are a lot of good people out there that are in that same boat. They're good people, and they love God. They pray. They may even, and they study their Bibles or read their Bibles, or you know, and they maybe they even go to church, but they haven't heard the words that they need to hear to be saved. You see, Cornelius had not been born again. In John chapter 3, in verses 3 through 5, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Cornelius hadn't done that. He had not been born again. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5 says, "Do you not know that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." So he hadn't been born again. He hadn't been resurrected, spiritually speaking, through baptism, as Paul says here in Romans 6. And so because of that, he was still in his sin. You see, the amazing thing about the way God's grace and mercy works and the way faith and our obedience works is because all of us, once we've reached that age where we understand what sin is, we've all sinned. And even if you only ever sinned one time in your life, no amount of good deeds that you can do afterwards will ever make that sin go away. You can't erase it. It's there forever. So we need God to erase that sin for us because we can't do it. And so Cornelius, even though he was a good man and he was doing all sorts of good things, at some point in his life, like all the rest of us, he had sinned. And he was still in that sin. He had not had that sin forgiven him. That sin hadn't been wiped clean from his slate. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter tells the people on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So he tells them that's how God washes those sins away. That's how they do it. The forgiveness of the sins comes when we repent and are baptized. And you see, Cornelius hadn't heard this message. He wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, so he didn't hear Peter say it then. He lived in Caesarea, a long way from Jerusalem, and he may not have even known what was going on over there in Jerusalem. And he was a Gentile. The things the Jews were doing over there didn't really concern him. He was a good fellow, but he hadn't heard the message yet. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias comes to Saul, who's been fasting and praying and all sorts of things for 3 days, and he's even seen this vision of Ananias coming to heal him. When Ananias finally comes, he says, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." You know, that's the only thing that's ever told to anybody in the New Testament as a way to get rid of their sins. Everyone in the New Testament, when they have sin and they need to get rid of that sin, every one of them is told to be baptized to wash that sin away. And so it is with this. But Cornelius hasn't heard that message yet. He needs to hear that message. You see, he was not in the church. The church, we use the word church, it doesn't really mean much. It's just a word. But the actual word is those who are called out. The ecclesia, those who are called out of the world. But he wasn't part of that group that had been called out of the world yet. But he needed to be. In Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 through 47, it says that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were breaking bread like we did just a little while ago with the Lord's Supper. They were praying. They all believed and they shared these things in common that they had. They sold their possessions and helped each other out, we see in verse 45. They were even breaking bread from house to house, going and visiting each other, having fellowship together. But verse 47 says they were praising God and they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, when the Lord saves somebody, He adds them to His church. They don't go join the church of their choice. He adds them to His church. Nobody has to vote on them. Nobody has to decide whether they're worthy. They do what He says do, and He adds them. And that's what happened here in Acts 2. In Galatians 3:27, Paul says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And Ephesians 5:23 says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. He's the head, the church is His body, and He saves that body. He saves that group of ones who've been called out from the world. You see, he was not in Christ. Cornelius was a good fellow, but he wasn't in Christ. And because he wasn't in Christ, you see, because Romans 6:3 that we looked at a little bit ago says, as many as have been baptized into Christ Jesus. And that's an interesting phrase, because being baptized into Christ, and we also saw that in Galatians 3:27, that's the only way that the New Testament ever describes somebody going from being outside of Christ to being inside of Christ. You will never read anywhere, and if you find it, you let me know. Because if I'm wrong, I want to know that I was wrong about it. But I have never found, and I don't think you can find, anywhere in the New Testament where someone is told that they are to believe into Christ, or that they are to repent into Christ, or that they are to pray their way into Christ. The only thing that the Bible ever says is that you are baptized into Christ. You know, we had to do a lot of things to be in this building this morning. We had to get up out of our beds, those of us who actually got to go to sleep last night in our beds. But we had to get up. We had to leave our homes. We had to get in our cars or somebody else's car. We had to drive here. But even after doing all of that, you know, we're still not in the building. We were just in the parking lot. In order to come into the building, we had to walk through the door. And so it is with baptism. Yes, there's God's grace, and we have to believe, and we have to repent, and we have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. But the way that we actually take that final step through the door from being outside to being inside, the Bible says you are baptized into Christ. He had not been baptized into Christ, and so he wasn't in Christ. And here's the thing. Because he had not been baptized into Christ, because he was not in Christ, he was without redemption, Ephesians chapter 1:7 tells us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. You see, that's not available outside. That's only available in him. He was without forgiveness, we see there is in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He was without that because he was not in Christ. Cornelius was without salvation. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he was without salvation. He was without the eternal glory that comes with salvation. And you see, Cornelius was without eternal life. 1 John 5:11, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Not outside. It's in His Son. If we're not in Christ, we would be missing out on all of these things. He is without any spiritual blessing. Now, of course, we know that God sends His rain on the just and the unjust, and the sun rises on the righteous and the wicked. But outside of Christ, we are without any spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The spiritual blessings are in Christ. Cornelius is missing out on those. He was separated from Christ. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty disturbing set of things to be. And certainly, we should want to change that if we're in that circumstance like Cornelius was. He was separated from Christ because he wasn't in Christ. He was stranger to God's covenant of promise. He was without hope. He was without God. Now, even though God heard him, heard the prayers and the alms that he was giving, they came up to God. God saw them, and that's why God sent the angel to say, hey, go get Peter. He'll tell you how you can be saved so that you won't be doing all those good things for nothing like you've been doing. And then Ephesians 2:13 says that those who are not in Christ Jesus, see, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off from God have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Cornelius, even though God could hear him, and even though his things that he was doing were noticed by God, he was still far off from God because he wasn't in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're outside of Christ because you've not been baptized into him, you may be a good person. I don't doubt that for a moment. But you're being good with no benefits, for nothing. You're being good for no reason. It's not accomplishing anything because it's outside of Christ. Even if you're a good moral person, even if you attend church regularly and give and pray and study, just like Cornelius, that's what he did. He was a good person. And he prayed to God and he gave and he had a good respect from all of the religious people of his day even. Even if you do that, even if you do much good and help others, even if you have the reputation from people around you. And you know, I've heard this used even. They said, well, he's a good Christian man. Even if he's not a Christian. Even if he's not religious at all, but because he's a good moral person, they'll say, well, he's a good Christian man. But even if you do good and help others, even if you act like a Christian and live like a Christian, and even if you feel like you're right with God, if we haven't done what God said to do and we're still outside of Christ, we're outside of all of those blessings. And so Cornelius is a good example to us because when he recognized that he was outside of Christ, when he was told, hey, go send for Peter, and then Peter came, and Peter preached to him about Jesus. One of the most amazing things that so many in the religious world just overlook or try to explain away, at the end of that story, it says that Peter commanded them to be baptized. He didn't just suggest it. He didn't just say, well, you know, if you want to, you can. He commanded it. He said, this is what you've got to do. When we recognize in our lives what sin had been there that needs to be washed away, if you haven't done that this morning, what are you waiting for? Like Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash those sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. But perhaps you're here this morning and you say, well, I did all that years ago. I'm in Christ. I've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years. But are there some things that we need to do to continue to be converted? You know, sometimes we think of conversion as a one-time, well, I was converted back when I was such and such and this. But conversion, the process of becoming a child of God, is a continuing process. Have you stagnated in your growth and in your conversion? Have you failed to convert certain aspects of your life and give them over to God? Whether you need to obey Him initially by repenting of your sins based on your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and come confessing that and being willing to be baptized, immersed in water, buried, planted in that water to rise to walk a new life, washing those sins away. Or if as a Christian you've fallen short of the conversion that you had at one time, maybe you need to renew that conversion. Maybe you need to come back to God again. Whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and as we sing.